Hello, this is the Newborn Nurse Podcast, and I'm your host, Rachel Ramsey, RN, BSN. This podcast is for expectant and new mothers and families, and we are here to share with you a list of incredible newborn resources, services, professionals, and tips and tricks. We hope the info on this podcast informs you, helps you, and most of all, eases any anxieties, gives you confidence, and empowers you to be the best parent possible. Knowledge really is power, and we are here to inform and guide you through this season with your new baby. I am your host, Rachel Ramsey. I am a registered nurse and certified postpartum doula. I have 17 years of professional neonatal and maternal nursing experience and 5 years as the owner of The Newborn Nurse, a Nashville-based service that provides in-home care and newborn education to new families. I hope this podcast helps each of you in some big or small way. Biggest of congratulations and thanks for listening. You've got this, Mama, and we are here for you. As a reminder, any information you hear on this podcast is not a substitute for professional medical advice or treatment. Please see the full disclaimer on our website for more details. Website is listed in show notes. Hey guys, it's Rachel back from The Newborn Nurse, and today we have Bob Wall. He is a global car seat safety advocate. So we're going to be talking about any and everything about car seats. If you're an expectant or new parent, I'm sure you have shopped for one or looked for one. There's lots of options online. So today we're just going to get started with him. And Bob, if you will let us know your background, your history, how long you've worked in your field, and your favorite part about working with new families and their car seats.
Well, that, you know, that's a long story. How did you get involved in this? I was a police officer right outside Washington, D.C. in Fairfax County. And it's funny you ask that because, you know, even the Washington Post years ago asked me, you know, when you became a police officer, did you really think you're going to be checking car seats? So it's kind of a it's kind of a strange thing, you know, how it evolves is, I mean, you know, as a police officer, you see a lot of different things, a lot of different crashes and fatals. And sometimes, you know, I wasn't a state trooper, I was a county police officer. So, but I was in traffic division. And the one thing that it was quite apparent was there was a misunderstanding about car seats or how they worked. Or, and we could see, you know, my first adventure into this basically was seatbelts. Okay. You know, how do we get more people and buckled up? And one of my focuses was really not the public, was more law enforcement oriented. How do I get more law enforcement buckled up? Because when you look at it, I mean, it's not the sexy stuff you see on TV. It's not, you know, we don't shoot our guns at everybody every day. And a lot of police officers were being killed in traffic crashes, which is, you know, it's tragic. I mean, right now, that's like in the top five killers of police officers is not buckling up. And there's a lot of reasons why people don't buckle up. And there's a lot of reasons why police officers don't buckle up. Either way you look at it, they're all reasons that really don't hold a lot of water. But as you get into it more, you see that, you know, there's one very underserviced or one group of individuals who don't really have a say, and that's our kids. You know, our kids, they don't have a say if they wear a seatbelt or not, or where they buckled up, or what are they buckled up correctly. So, you know, it evolved into this, you know, I want to do something for the kids. And like I said, the Washington Post asked me once, you know, when you became a police officer, did you think you were going to be checking car seats? And, you know, when you come right down to it, it isn't the sexy side of law enforcement. I mean, you know, if anybody remembers the TV show Cops, I mean, the very beginning had police officers running around and, you know, bad boys, bad boys. Well, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, Officer Wall pulls them over and opens the door and the kid falls out because he's not in a car seat and bad boys starts playing. That's not really the what you became a police officer for. So a lot of people ask, you know, what it was we just see a lot of things out there that we couldn't unsee. You know, when you come right down to it, seeing a child hurt or injured in a crash, I mean, that could haunt you forever. So if you imagine if it haunts a police officer, it definitely haunts a parent. So the best way to do it is do education. So way back when, and, you know, we're talking 35 or 36 years ago, the push was to get everybody kind of on the same page in the United States, teaching the same thing. There were people in California teaching this and everybody was teaching basically the same information, but in a different way. So a group from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and it was a group called the Patterns for Life Group, came together and decided we needed to have some type of standardized curriculum for child seats. And I was one of the originators of that group. And from that group came a nationally certified standard for child passenger safety. So I was one of the key authors of that certification that is currently being used now 20 plus years in the United States to train people to be certified technicians. Now, it's obviously been updated over the years, and I've been involved in that update several times. So I've been very involved all the way from kind of the beginning of the whole, let's get people on board with the right thing to do. And I think your second part of your question was, what do I see parents? What's really great is, everybody wants the best for their child. And children don't come with instruction manuals. That's why you're here, right? Yes. They don't come with instruction manuals. So, but car seats do. And there's really not a reason why children should be injured or killed in crashes. I mean, yes, there are some crashes, but no matter what we do, the parent or the child or whoever's in the car is going to get injured or killed even. But a lot of the senseless things can be overcome just by reading the instruction manual. But I think the most important thing, and I've seen seasoned police officers who have gone to this certification and said, after the last part where they're checking car seats, was, that's one of the most rewarding things I've ever done, to see the smile on mom and dad's face when they realize, this is not hard. You just got to take your time and do the right thing. So, that whole aha moment, I think, is really what, this is what we all do it for. The aha moment, the moment where the parent goes, wow, that was easy. I can do that. And that's one of the reasons why I'm with Nuna now, because when Nuna came into the United States in 2012, they had something kind of new, the load leg or the stability leg. And while it is not a standard in the United States, and it's been around a long time, it was something that had been tried in the United States before, and it didn't do too well because people didn't understand it. That aha moment hadn't come yet. The load leg does such a great job of protecting the little one rear facing. So why wouldn't you have it? Well, when they came to me, I was teaching in a police academy in Virginia, in Fairfax, where I had just retired a little while earlier. And they came and they said, we want to show you something. And it kind of scared me because, here we are in the back of a police station. They open the trunk, they got a plastic bag. And I'm like, ooh, what are they trying to sell out of the trunk of the car? It was a car seat from Europe. It was a Pippa, and it had a load leg. So since that time, I have been with Nuna, and that's been since 2012. And I try to help them achieve that aha moment curbside with parents and making sure that we're going in the right direction, make sure it's easy to use. And I mean, I think that's the key to a car seat, is to make sure it's easy to use and it's used that way every time. And when I get that aha moment at the curb from the parent going, wow, okay, I can do this. That's what I'm looking for. That's what everybody's looking for.
Mm-hmm. And to back up just a little bit, you work for a company called Nuna. They're a car seat company and some baby gear. They have strollers and whatnot. And I have taken care of lots of people at home when they get home with their newborns. And I've also done education with families. And in those education classes, we go through all of their baby equipment. So I have been able to touch, use, try out lots and lots and hundreds of car seats. And I am a straight shooter. I only promote products that I love, that I would use, that my family uses, that my friends use. I'm approached by a lot of different brands, but I only use those that I love and promote those that I love. And Nuna is hands down, in my opinion, the best car seat, the easiest to use. Like you said, even the clips, just clipping the baby in is just so much easier than all the other brands. And then the safety feature, like you mentioned, which we'll get into a little bit later, in the Pippa, which is the little baby bucket, if you will, the base that you clip the bucket into has something called a load leg, which goes down and touches the ground of the back seat of the car. Again, you can explain this probably way better than me. And that load leg absorbs what 90%, if there was a car accident, it absorbs 90% of the impact versus the baby. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it reduces the energy, the transfer to the child by about 90%.
Yeah, which is crazy. Oh. I had no idea. Same thing. First time I saw the load leg, I'm like, what is this? It looks kind of crazy. It, you know, comes out from the base and touches the floorboard, but it's a engineering thing and it takes away the impact from your baby, which is super cool. But anyway, all that to say, Nuna is just not even on the same universe as all the other brands. And I've been able to touch and feel and use all of them. So we will get to that in a minute. So let's say we have a newer expectant family that's listening to this podcast, and just like everyone does, they are looking for a car seat and they are going to get opinions from friends and family and get on Instagram and get online and do all the research. What are some, as this from a safety standpoint, because at the end of the day, I feel like some families, you know, safety is above price, if you will. In my eyes, safety is everything, and you're going to be using a car seat for several years. So what are some key features and things that a family should look for when they are shopping for a new car seat?
Well, you know, that's a great question, because that is the number one question. You know, when people take this class, and it's not just for first responders, it is for lots of people. We have lots of, you know, stay-at-home moms that say, hey, I want to help others. And they take this certification class. And when they're done, the neighborhood says, hey, what's the safest car seat? And that's the biggest thing. So when you look at this, a parent needs to look at it that there are certain elements of a child's seat that make it correct. Okay. So when you look at the basic elements, it's selection, selecting the right car seat, it's direction, facing it the right direction for your child. Again, that could be part of selection as well. All right. So selection, direction. The next is something people don't think about a lot, and that is location. Where does it sit in your car or in your lifestyle? You know, what kind of car do you have? Does it go in the right spot? And the question is it the right location for everybody to be safe in the car? You know, it may be their first child, but they've got husband and wife or wife and, you know, whoever's there. All right. But they might not be their first time. It might be their second child or their third child. So when you get a new car seat, you need to decide, okay, what is the right location for everybody in that car with that car seat in it? Then the next thing is the fourth thing, which is harnessing. Make sure the harnesses work correctly. Make sure they're on the child correctly. Make sure they're easy to use. And then the last thing is installation. So you're asking basically for step one, which is selection. How do we select the right seat? Well, first of all, it's by size, it's by age, it's by, again, we go into all those things, lifestyle, what direction. If you're having a newborn, you're not going to go into the booster seat direction, you know, because a booster seat is forward facing only, even though it matches the interior of your car. All right, which unfortunately, a lot of people say, hey, I like the color on this one. It may not be the right seat for the size of your child. So you're going to have to say, okay, I'm having my new baby. What do I want to have? First of all, you need to say, okay, what's going to fit my child? You want a rear facing seat. So there's the first two, selection, direction. If I get an infant seat only, you've already taken care of the first two, which is selection and direction. It can only go rear facing unless you've made a mistake. Not, you know, a lot of people, unfortunately, we do see forward facing, rear facing seats in some locations. So again, that all comes back to the directions. But so you want to pick a seat that fits the child. So I've got a newborn. I'm going to get something that will fit from birth to whatever. Now lifestyle gets into it. Do I want to have something that I can carry in and out of the car while they're sleeping, or carry in and out of the store or the mall? Or do I want a seat that is a little bigger that I have to always pick them out of the seat, put them in the stroller and go in? But it's more economical, because if I get a seat that is rear facing, like a convertible, it's rear facing from say 5 pounds to 50 pounds rear facing, we've got 50 pound rear facing seats. that child can be rear facing for a long time, which is what we want. But then when they get past that weight limit and that height limit, they can turn it around. Well, it's not as convenient as a carrier, because the carrier you can pick up, take into the store. But remember, the carrier will max out at 32 pounds and 32 inches. Might not even last you a year, might last you a year, might last you a year and 6 months, but then you have to buy something else. So, mm-hmm. you know, that as you can tell, there's a lot of different things that you need to look at as far as choosing a seat. So you need to say, okay, what's going to be most convenient? What fits my child? Well, you need to fit your child first. Then what's most convenient? What can I buy? And is it the right thing for my seat? And then the next thing is, does it fit in the car? All right. So all these factors are just, you know, there's a lot of different factors into choosing a seat.
I was going to, can I interject one quick thing that absolutely. Reminded me? Okay. Something I see quite a bit when I do my education classes in home. We have some families that have a smaller sedan. And the one, the first one that comes to mind is there's a BMW. I feel like a lot of people have this one, and the baby seat in the back, like, will not fit if the passenger seat is pushed back. And so they're in there trying to get the car seat in, and it's not fitting and it's not fitting. So like you said, making sure that that seat fits in your back seat of your car is very important.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm 6'2". All right. So I am not going to buy a big, large, say convertible that goes to 50 pounds rear facing and put it right behind me, because a convertible seat that goes that high is a bigger seat. And I won't be able to push my seat all the way back, because we really don't want them wedged into the seat, or even in some cases, they shouldn't even be touching the seat in front of it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, again, this is all part of the selection process. And you notice it's very personalized. That selection thing is, there's no right car seat for every. In other words, I can't say, get this car seat, it's going to fit every time. It doesn't fit every time. It doesn't fit every car, maybe doesn't fit some lifestyles. Now, as manufacturers, they try to make sure that it does fit in a wide variety of cars easily, or a wide variety of lifestyles. I mean, you know, part of the, and we'll talk about Nuna since that's where I am. The Nuna brand, it prides itself in making it easy to use and making it easier. So it's designed around your life. You want it to be an easy part of your life, not a hard part. You know, kids are hard enough, right? But now it's hard when you put a car seat in, and it shouldn't be. So it's a great question as far as what do I pick, but you got to look at all the factors. Fits the kid, fits the vehicle, fits your lifestyle. All those things need to be taken into consideration. The biggest thing, fits your kid height and weight. That's number one. Okay, that's number one.
Hey everyone, this is Rachel from The Newborn Nurse. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you are learning some valuable and helpful information on this podcast. If you would like to learn even more, we have something new and exciting to tell you about. We have created our Newborn Care 101 online video course for first-time expectant parents or parents who want a refresher course in newborns. This course is taught by me, a neonatal newborn nurse and expert of 18 years and founder of The Newborn Nurse. It's so super important to make sure you are gathering your newborn information from a trusted and experienced source as you prepare for your baby. This course is a series of educational videos where you will learn everything you need to know about newborn care all in one spot without having to search and scroll all over the internet. You can take this course in the comfort of your own home and nursery with your own baby equipment and at your own pace. You can also rewatch the videos as many times as you would like with unlimited access to these videos for an entire year. Many of the families who have already taken this course have reached out to tell me how helpful it is to go back and be able to review these videos once their baby has arrived. In this course, you will learn swaddling, diapering, bathing, breastfeeding, bottle feeding, burping, cord care, how to use your breast pump in car seat, how to prevent mastitis, calm a fussy baby, and much, much more. You also get free printables, including a checklist of what to pack in your hospital bag, a must-haves product list for your baby registry, and the best part, you get free access to our Facebook online community group where you can meet other new moms and also have access to me, Rachel, for any newborn questions you have along your journey. The families who have taken this course already have raved about it and have felt it has been super helpful and allowed them to feel prepared, organized, ready, and knowledgeable about their newborn. For our podcast listeners, you can receive 10% off this course with coupon code, all caps, podcast, at the checkout. The link to purchase this course is in the show notes below. Thank you for being here and best wishes to you and your family. I hope you feel loved, supported, and empowered as a new parent. Thanks so much and have a great day. That being said, if we can also speak, because I know this changes and right now it is May the 16th, 2022. Everything, you know, sometimes in a year from now, things will change with car seat credentials and whatnot. But for today, on this date, what is the norm for rear facing and the weights for that? I know it changes constantly, but what are the rules for rear facing?
Well, the rules are basically keep them rear facing as long as you can.
Okay.
And even though it's a very vague rule, it's a rule. You want to keep them rear facing as long as possible. And, the American Academy of Pediatrics says the children are safer rear facing. We all say the children are rear facing are safer. Some seats, like I said, like the infant carrier that is very convenient, it only goes to 32 pounds and 32 inches. Okay. So they're going to probably outgrow the 32 inches because you want to keep that head within the shell. And if their head is too close to the shell, then it exposes the head to some injuries if it's in a crash. So you want to get, then you go to the next step, which is a convertible rear facing to 50 pounds. Well, you know, a 50 pound child could be 4 or 5 years old. Now, that's a wonderful thing. If you can keep a child 3, 4, even 5 rear facing, that's wonderful. Now, I'm not sure that's reality in many people's lifestyle, because what's that child going to start doing when you go to school and the playground politics, you know, when that 5-year-old is seeing all their friends forward facing and, you know, parents, they almost treat it like a graduation of sorts. You're getting bigger. Mm-hmm. Let's turn them around. Oh boy. Instead, it should be, hey, look, we're going to keep you rear facing because it's safer. The problem is we're trying to change that trend to get people to leave them rear facing as long as possible. They should be rear facing till you max out the car seat.
A question for you. On safety, what is the reasoning? Is it because of the neck in a crash, or what is the reasoning as to why it's safer?
Well, you know, if you think about it, okay, if you think about even adults, let's put you in the driver's seat, okay? If you're driving and you have a 3-point belt system, you have a belt going over your shoulder and your hips, when you have a crash, the energy is spread across the front of your body and down across your hips, and it's touching the strong parts of your body, which is your shoulder and your hips. Well, you can handle that. Now you may be bruised. You may be, oh my God, I'm sore. Help me. But you know, you'd be better off rear facing, because if you were in a frontal crash, which is where most injuries come from, that energy wouldn't pinpoint into your shoulder and hips. It would be spread all across your back.
Makes sense.
So now put a child in that. Okay, in that scenario, and a child has a 5-point harness, shoulder, shoulder, hip, hip, and down through the crotch. That is to keep them in the seat. Now, a child, their bones are not as developed as an adult. So that pinpointing of that energy into those bones is great, but they're not as developed. So you really don't want that. You don't want that, you know, the child who's young, their heads are much bigger. You know, unfortunately, as gravity takes over at our age, our size goes down. Yeah, we all. Oh, yeah, we understand that.
I'll be 40 in a few weeks. I'm feeling all the things about that.
We will not
anyway.
Talk about how old I am. Okay? But, you know, unfortunately, gravity takes over and our heads are no longer the biggest part of us. But a child, you know, you want them protected. So in a rear-facing seat, if there's a crash, frontal crash, which is what we're testing for, the energy is now going through the entire back of the child and through their butt, and it's being transferred into the seat, not into pinpoints of the body. Mm,
makes perfect sense. And it protects
the head, neck, and spinal cord. So, yeah, I mean, even adults would be better driving rear-facing. But, I mean, some people drive like they're rear-facing already. If you've been in any of the neighborhoods I've been in, but unfortunately, you know, that's it's just safer. I mean, it's just safer to keep people rear facing as long as possible, as far as our children. And some countries, their children are facing or facing till age seven. I mean, you know, so, but I mean, we're not doing that here, but we're trying to change that trend to get people to keep them rear facing a little bit longer.
I've never heard that explained, but that makes perfect sense. And that really helps clarify that. Very cool. What is the best way to make sure that the car seat is installed properly? And again, in the class that I teach in home, a lot of families ask me and I say, I'm not certified. I can't legally tell you if it's installed properly. But here in Nashville, I know people can go to the local fire department and there are apparently people there who can check. So can you let me know the best way to make sure that it is installed in the car correctly?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And unfortunately, well, fortunate for people where you are and fortunate in a lot of places is a lot of law enforcement, a lot of firefighters, a lot of first responders around the country are trained. Okay. So yes, you can go to the firehouses. Yes, you can go to the police stations. You can go to the EMS people and things like that, but that is not the norm everywhere. So the first thing I want to caution everybody is don't just say go to the firehouse, because not all the firehouses are trained. But what you need to do is go on to online. Well, first of all, what you need to do is read the owner's manual of your child seat, because honestly, it really is not as hard as you think. So you need to read the manual and do the best you can. Now, obviously, we want to have a double check. You can go on to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA, website, or Safe Kids website, Safe Kids Worldwide. And those two websites, you can say, locate a child seat technician. And you can put your zip code in and it'll give you the locations closest to you, wherever you are in this country, where there might be a child seat technician. Now, that's something you could do. Or, you know, right now, no matter what car seat you have, most of, if not all, the manufacturers have customer service people that are also certified technicians. You know, when I started this a long time ago, that was the missing link, was child seat manufacturers with customer service people who were technicians as well, certified. But now, you know, the best place to find out about your car seat is from the child seat manufacturer. And I encourage you to call the manufacturer, because many of them will take appointments. We actually do virtual appointments online where we can actually see it online and walk you through the system. Nuna does that for customers the first Thursday of every month. You can make appointments and get your child seats inspected. I know that Upa Baby and Good Baby and other manufacturers do the same thing. So I encourage you, first, read the directions. Second, reach out to your manufacturer. And then third, if you can't, then you would say go to one of those websites and find a technician close to you. Yes, depends on where you live. I think it's great that, you know, like I said, I came from a first responder law enforcement background. And then I actually went to the fire department and ran those fitting stations for a fire department here. So it is a great resource and it gives you a little peace of mind that you're doing it right. But try it yourself first is what my advice is. Don't be so intimidated, because this is not the hardest thing you're going to do as a parent, putting a car seat in. So my suggestion is to read the instructions, do what you can do, figure it out, and then call the manufacturer. And then if that doesn't help and you're still not sure, then there's a lot of different steps you can do to find out if it's correct.
Okay, great. I didn't know any of that. So that's super
there's almost 38,000 technicians nationwide trained.
Wow, that's a lot. A lot of people. Yeah. First, and we'll edit this out, but it says I only have 8 minutes left. I don't know why. I've never had a countdown, but
I've never had that. I've seen
ever
8 minutes, 11, whatever.
Must be new. They want money. They want us to upgrade. Anyway. Okay, we'll edit that out. So two other quick questions. I don't know if this would fall under the same umbrella as being installed properly, but what is the best way to learn how to use the car seat correctly and make sure baby is buckled incorrectly? And then also talking about car seat expiration dates, like if someone wants to gift someone their old used car seat, how does all that work?
Well, I mean, you know, something, the biggest thing with used car seats, okay, first of all, how do you learn how to do it? And that is the owner's manual, but it also will tell you in the owner's manual or on the label of your car seat, you know, the year it was made or purchased. And most car seats will tell you, you know, between 6 and 10 years, some a little shorter, some a little longer. And one of the reasons for that is it's not necessarily because it's out in the weather, it's out there. It's more of technology, you know, what happens to a seat in a 10-year lifespan? Is it really kept clean? Is it really up to date? You know, I don't think I would want a 10-year old car seat right now because the technology is so much better now. Mm-hmm. So we look at, you know, we got to have some kind of expiration date because if you do get a used car seat from a family member, and you notice I say family member, somebody that's close to you that you know, the biggest problem with used car seats or car seats or hand-me-downs is you don't know the history. If it's been involved in a crash, you don't want to use it because it needs to be replaced after a crash in most cases. You don't know how severe that crash was. You don't know a lot of things. Has it been recalled? And if it has been recalled, was that recall fixed? You know, so you don't know the history of that car seat unless it's like, okay, your sister, you know, your sister has one and you're having a baby. The car seat's only a couple years old. They said, hey, look, I have a carrier you can use. It's never been involved in a crash. It's up to date. We registered it. We got to make sure we register it when you get it, people, because that way you know if there's a recall. That registration tag on the front should be filled out every time. It's you're not going to get spam. You're not going to get advertisement. It's by law can only be used to notify you if there's a recall. So don't worry about selling of any information or any of that stuff. That's not what that's for. That is to make sure you know that if there's a recall, that you know about it. Okay. And and some of the recalls are not life ending. In other words, the seat's not dead. It's just a recall that has to be fixed because, say, the label isn't correct or there's little things that might be a problem. But then again, it could be something huge that it doesn't perform correctly in a crash. So, again, I mean, you have to know the history. You go to a yard sale and buy a $5 car seat, what you're getting is a $5 paperweight.
Yeah.
All right. Because you don't know anything about it. Yep. You don't know anything about it. And we don't know if that's safe for your child. And that can't happen.
Yeah. Agreed. So now I would love to talk a little bit about the Nuna brand. Again, you work for them. I love them. And I have their car seats in my car for my nieces. I don't have kids, but I have nieces that I towed around. And I just think that their products are so well made. And so, like you said, they're very well thought through. Everything about their product just is like, who thought of this? For example, the bucket seat, the Pippa, I show my clients, I can pick it up with my pinky. It weighs 5 pounds. Where some of the other bucket brands, you lift it and it's so heavy, then you add a baby in and it's very cumbersome to carry around. So let's talk about Nuna for a little bit because I just love them so much. So anything you want to add in about Nuna and all their wonderful features? Because
honestly, just like I said, I mean, I've been doing this a long time and I really had not been involved as far from a manufacturing standpoint. I was one of the ones that, you know, I like all car seats. I'm an equal opportunity car seat guy. Okay. And I will tell you that all the car seats out there, if they meet the standard and they're sold in the US, they're good for your child. But then you have to get into convenience and comfort and ease of use. See, that's where Nuna sets themselves apart. Okay.
Way apart.
Way apart. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's the thing that makes that brand so so well loved. I mean, you know, the seat you were talking about that's 5.3 pounds, that's the Pippa Light. You know, if you can make a seat that is safe, which it is very safe, comes with a base, has the load leg or the stability leg, it has rigid lower anchors. So it's like point and shoot, you hit it on the anchor points, it's done, it's easy, and it weighs 5 pounds. Goodness gracious, you can then put a 10-pound baby in there when it's born, and you're caring about what some people carry as an empty carrier is, you know, average 11, 12, 13 pounds. Well, this one's 5. Now, our heaviest one is only, I think, 9 pounds, and that's the original. That's still super light. Mm-hmm. So you go all the way from 9 pounds. Our newest Pippa Light RX, it's 6 pounds, but it has every feature you could ever want on a child seat, an infant car seat. It has a belt path, so you can do it with or without the base. It also has a European belt path, so that kind of acts like a load leg when you don't have the base. It also has a no rethread harness, so you can actually adjust the harnesses without going in the back and taking them apart. And so it's very convenient, it's very easy, and it's still under 7 pounds. You gotta love it.
Another thing that reminds me, speaking of car seats, I was thinking about one of the children threw up in my car seat, got car sick. And because this is the reality, my neighbor the other day, she was outside in her yard with all her car seats, hosing them off. So the reality is it's going to get dirty at some point. And the Nuna brand is so easy to pull apart, clean, and put back together. So there's that, because that will happen at some point. You will have to clean your car seat out.
Well, that's exactly right.
When you do, Nuna's super easy to put back together.
It's just, you wash it, mild detergent in the washer, no dryer. Just air dry. You know, there's nothing to it. Just put the software back on and you're ready to rock and roll. Yeah.
And it's super easy to like put it all back together.
Very.
It's a great perk. So if someone ever wanted to reach you personally, do you do any kind of car seat consultations or what do you do for that? And if so, how would they get a hold of you?
If they want a car seat inspection, they can go to our customer service and you can set up an appointment first Thursday of every month for now. Now we may be doing more later. And I end up doing those as well. I do those with all of our technicians. Also, I mean, if they email me and they need some consultation on any kind of car seat, I help anybody. Like I said, I'm equal opportunity. My biggest thing, you know, at the end of every one of my workshops, I always tell everybody though, it doesn't matter, you know, a Nuna or a Graco or a Keek, just put them in a seat, okay? Because in 2019, almost 40% of the children killed in crashes were in nothing, okay? Now, everybody, I hope on your website, in your podcast is going, oh my God, nothing, that's crazy. Yeah, it is crazy. Almost 40% of the kids are in nothing. You know, it's 37 point something, but it's round up. It doesn't really matter if it's, you know, 30%, 35%, 37%. It doesn't matter. They're in nothing. These children who were killed then were in nothing.
It's
they
crazy.
Were in no car seat. They were in no seat belt. So, you know, my whole thing is get them in something. Okay. Get them in something. Obviously, you want them in the easiest thing to use that you're going to use every time. I mean, that's the key. What's the best car seat? The car seat is the one that fits your kid, fits your car, and one that's you're going to use every time correctly. And every time you go out on the road, you use it. So, you know, I mean, I think that's the key. So, you know, at Nuna, we do our checks, but, you know, there's also national virtual check 4 times a year that I help coordinate nationwide. And we have 50 or 60 technicians from all over the country that are ready to help on this certain Saturday that we do them. And I think their next one is August 6th, but and they can sign up for appointments for that too. But if they need help, you know, I mean, obviously they can email me and I can set them up with a virtual check or whatever we need to do, or find them somebody if they're not comfortable with the virtual. I tell you, the virtual has been very successful. Probably one of the only good things that have come out of COVID is us learning how to do things a different way.
Yeah.
Virtual, I think, is very good because the parent really does learn how to do it because they have to do it. And we just walk them through it and show them how it's done. So if they need help, they can email me. You have my email and you can put it out there. That's fine. Or you call the manufacturer that the seat is made by and they can help you. There's a lot of resources out there. But yes, I am available if you're if your podcast people want to talk to me personally.
They may. Hey, you may be getting a lot of moms reaching out.
You know something? I already get a lot. Just tell everybody, remember, I am on the East Coast. And if you're in Australia, don't call me in the middle of the night. Or if you're on the West Coast or Hawaii, you guys have a time difference. But
yes.
Unfortunately, because I have no life other than car seats, I will answer the phone probably always.
That's me. I'm always like, okay, it's 10 o'clock at night. Okay, I'll answer this text. It's what we do. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you so much for your time. I actually just learned a lot. So very neat. What a cool niche and wonderful way to help families and keep babies safe for sure. It's so important. I know when, like you said, when their children not in car seats, you'll ride past someone at the stoplight and you're like, their kids aren't buckled. Oh my gosh. But cool. Well, thank you for all of this fabulous information. And I'm going to put your email and the website. You said NHTSA, NHTSA.org.
.org. Yep.
.org. Okay. And then safekidsworldwide.com.
Yep. I will send that to you on email. Cool. The exact ones.
We'll put all of it on show notes. Awesome. Thank you for your time today, Bob, and appreciate it very much.
If you loved what you heard on our podcast today, don't forget you can learn even more with our new Newborn Care 101 online video course. This course is taught by me, a newborn registered nurse expert, and covers all kinds of newborn education, including swaddling, diapering, bathing, breastfeeding, how to use your breast pump and car seat, sleep training, and much, much more. You also get free access to our online course community, which gives you direct access to me, Rachel, for any newborn questions along the way. Our podcast listeners get a special discount, so make sure to use coupon code PODCAST in all caps at the checkout. The link to purchase this course is in show notes below. Thanks so much and have a great day.
Although I am a nurse, I am not your medical provider, and any information from me is purely educational and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult a professional for your particular situation before making any decisions. My opinion about any brands we mention on the podcast is based on my personal experience and is not an endorsement about the suitability of any products for your particular need.